A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll get inside the brand new Lewis Center for the Arts complex at Princeton University, which will be unveiled to the public in early October. My guests will be Michael Cadden, chair of the Lewis Center of the Arts, and Wendy Heller, who chairs the music department, and we'll talk about the new rehearsal, performance, and public spaces created in this new arts venue. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Houston Grand Opera has turned to an unconventional venue after being displaced from its regular theater by Hurricane Harvey. The opera company is converting an exhibition hall at the city's convention center into a small performance space for the first part of its season. Houston Grand Opera said in a statement that its first three productions will be held at what it has named the HGO Resilience Theater at the George R. Brown Convention Center in the city's downtown. The location will accommodate about 1,700 audience members seated in the combination of stadium and floor seating. The opera company's regular venue, the Wortham Theater, is closed indefinitely as its owners evaluate and repair damage from flooding caused by the hurricane. You will also be able to find the New York Philharmonic in an unusual spot this coming holiday season. The orchestra will be included in a salute to New York City cultural institutions in the windows at luxury retailer Bergdorf Goodman. According to the Philharmonic, the display will depict various musical instruments and a red neon light show in the window designated for the Philharmonic, which will be formally unveiled November 14th. In addition, Bergdorf Goodman is including several Philharmonic-related goodies among its annual collection of unique and select gift offerings, a Philharmonic-branded set of cordless headphones with a pre-selected playlist curated by the orchestra, and a ticket package for the orchestra's screening of Amadeus, complete with backstage passes. And finally, Estonian composer Arvo Pärt has been recognized by the Vatican for helping foster dialogue between theology, philosophy, and science. The Estonian Public News Service, EER, reported that Pärt is one of three recipients of the Vatican's Ratzinger Prize, given by the Ratzinger Benedict XVI Vatican Foundation. In the foundation announcement, it noted the expansion of the award to include the arts this year because of the former pope's appreciation of art and the religious inspiration of Pärt's music. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. When students returned to Princeton University this fall, they were welcomed with brand new facilities for those in the creative, visual, and performing arts, many of which are now housed in the new Lewis Center for the Arts complex on Alexander Road. This coming week, the public will be invited to explore the new complex with its intriguing architecture and interior design and get a taste of some of the ways the new venue adds to Princeton's already thriving creative community. When you enter the Forum, the large open area that connects the complex's three main sections, you can tell you are surrounded by the arts. A glass-walled orchestral rehearsal room sits on one side, a black box studio with movable stadium seats that can be arranged in a traditional or theater-in-the-round setup on another. A twirling staircase nearby that brings you up to the dance department and studios is decorated with designs evocative of choreographic notation. Yet another wall is comprised of large sections that can be kept shut or individually rotated so that the space behind, known as the collab for collaboration, can open directly to the Forum to display whatever exhibition or activity is taking place. And if you look up, squares of sunlight ripple through skylights that look through a reflecting pool located on the story above. The complex houses the Lewis Center for the Arts and some facilities of the Princeton Music Department, and provides a host of rehearsal, exhibition, classroom, and performance areas that will serve both students and members of the public who attend events. I sat down this past week with Michael Cadden, chair of the Lewis Center, and Wendy Heller, chair of the music department, to talk about the programs that the new venue will serve and some of the ways in which the public will be able to enjoy its artistic offerings.
The Lewis Center for the Arts is comprised of the program in creative writing, the program in dance, the program in theater, the program in music theater, the program in visual arts, and the Princeton Atelier. You know, so Lewis Center for the Arts is, if you will, the umbrella department of those separate programs.
The Department of Music comprises the undergraduate major in music, two PhD programs, one in composition and one in musicology, which includes ethnomusicology and music theory, sort of the academic study of music. We have certificate programs in performance, in music performance in both voice and instruments, and jazz, and we also have a program certificate in jazz studies, and that's all part of the music department. And of course, we have any number of performing organizations that are faculty supervised, two orchestras, four choruses, a number of jazz ensembles, an African music and dance ensemble, a steel drum ensemble, and a percussion ensemble. I think those are all the faculty supervised ones. Oh, and the wind ensemble are all faculty run ensembles. So students who aren't in certificate programs or aren't in majors may play in the orchestra for 4 years. Oh, and the Princeton Laptop Orchestra. So it's a, we certainly share many things. We share a commitment to the arts, to the performing arts and the creative arts. There are instances where we collaborate very specifically in things that involve music and music theater or dance. There's a lot of academic interest in dance in our department. We've had a lot of collaborations in dance and theater. We have composers who work regularly with artists in the Lewis Center, but we still have our own sort of separate realms, and the fun part is where they overlap.
So how does this new facility, the new complex, on a general level, expand the opportunities for these two entities?
So on the Lewis Center side, sort of, you know, certainly the thing that's been missing from campus since I got here, which is something like 35 years ago, the kinds of rooms that you need to offer classes and sort of co-curricular sort of events that, you know, of a kind that are appropriate to our arts. So when I first started directing the theater and dance program, as it was then called, there was one dance studio. It itself was not, in fact, up to code, if you will, sort of, you know, and so now we have these four lovely dance studios, each one with its own specific character. One you walk in and you can tell you're in a space that, you know, will probably primarily be used by people with ballet backgrounds, sort of, you know, various forms of sort of modern dance. But sort of, you know, instead of trying to schedule one room for every single dance offering, every single sort of senior thesis rehearsal, and then also sort of, you know, on the hours when it's not occupied by those things, the extracurricular groups that would like to sort of use that one space, we actually have purpose-built rooms for the study of dance. So Wendy and I, you know, have been on the road now and again to talk about the new buildings, and one title we used a couple of times was practice, 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 referencing the old joke about Carnegie Hall. In fact, a good portion of this building, I'd say sort of 80%, is devoted to practice rooms. You know, sort of practice rooms, in theater, you know, which is to say acting studios, directing studios, practice rooms in design, practice rooms in music. And that was the huge need, sort of, in, I think, both of our units.
Absolutely.
We have some swell performance spaces at Princeton that have been around for a while, sort of, you know, and so the Berlin Theater is something that both the music program and the dance program use Richardson Auditorium, obviously.
We're not leaving Richardson. I mean, that's our, our our primary theater. Taplin Auditorium, we've had these spaces. But as Michael says, part of the issue for us is where do you go to prepare for these things? And what are the kinds of, how do you build spaces that are really appropriate for the kinds of rehearsals that you need? And I think one of the interesting things is that both of our departments have undergone expansion in the last few years. I think what part of the difference is that you've been able, the Lewis Center's been able to grow and more students are doing more and more things. For us, it's the same thing, but what's happened is we always had these big academic programs where we thought of, musicology and composition as our prime areas. And the performance wing, which was sort of compressed into smaller spaces in Woolworth, which is still the home of the music department, there wasn't room for them, so that when you suddenly have two full orchestras, when I came to Princeton 19 years ago, we had one big orchestra and a little string orchestra of people who didn't get into the main orchestra. Now we have two full symphony orchestras. I mean, that just that creates space problems. So the orchestra would rehearse in Richardson because it was the only place big enough to put them. Now we have, I think, the real jewel in our crown and for the music building is the rehearsal room, the family performance and rehearsal room, which you can see and you'll be able to see in the forum, where the orchestra can rehearse, the whole orchestra. And it is amazing. You put the whole orchestra in there playing Mahler full volume, you shut the door, you do not hear it. So that's part of what we really needed, was the sense of more practice rooms. We have practice rooms now with these wonderful pianos, more teaching studios. And the kid who doesn't have to drag her double bass from Woolworth to Richardson in the snow for rehearsal twice a week. Or the harp, for that matter.
Yeah, you can be doing more performances in that space if you're not also rehearsing there. So that'll be a bonus for, I think, the community at large.
And acoustically, it's true, too, because one of the things we've noticed about the rehearsal room is Richardson has these wonderful, large, live acoustics, but that doesn't mean that the second violinist can hear the cellist, right? And so the acoustics in our room are adjustable, so you can really decide how much you want to hear or how much you don't want to hear, which is really the case sometimes. So that's, again, is a way of having, and the soundproofing of our practice rooms. If you're practicing the piano and the singer next door to you is making a racket, you're not going to be working as well as when you're in a place where you can really see and hear and have windows and have a pleasurable experience.
There are, I believe, three different main buildings as part of this complex. I want to kind of go one by one and get a sense of what there is. First of all, the new dance building.
So it's actually called the Wallace Dance Building and Theater. And so, in fact, what that comprises are the spaces connected to the theater and dance program, including a black box theater that will be used primarily by the program and theater. And so, but it also includes a dance theater, and so that's the Hearst Dance Theater, and then all the dance studios that I mentioned earlier, sort of four theater studios. And then faculty offices for theater and dance, in addition to offices for the staff of the technical staff of the Lewis Center.
And then the new music building?
The new music building has the, as I mentioned, this wonderful rehearsal room for the orchestra and our large jazz ensembles to rehearse. And that's really our sort of large space. And that's also a space that can be used for certain kinds of performances, sort of slightly unconventional performances. It's not a real concert hall per se, but we will have some performances in there during the inaugural week. We have a smaller jazz rehearsal studio there. We have a room for the Princeton Laptop Orchestra to rehearse in. We have a number of offices. Not our primary administrative unit remains in Woolworth, which still there, where my office is, but we have some new staff members who are in the new office and some postdoctoral fellows, and some of our performance faculty and regular faculty are over there. And then teaching and practice studios. So these are the rooms, when you look at the building and you see these things that look like wooden boxes or organ pipes, they look like to me, but you know, that's perhaps my big fanciful. Those are these individual practice or teaching studio rooms that have a piano in them. Some are larger for our piano teachers or instrumental teachers to work in. Some are large enough to have a chamber group. My husband's rehearsing the Schubert Trout Quintet in there with a group right now, and he needs to get the piano, the other instruments, plus his own bass in if he wants to demonstrate something. So that has to be a room big enough for, you know, that kind of an ensemble. And that's the second and third floors. The other thing that we have is that the rooms are wired in such a way that they can be used as recording studios. So there are ways to record into the jazz room and into the orchestra room to make recordings. And that's obviously of vital importance for our students and for our performing groups. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a number of other elements, including the Arts Tower, and I understand a collab.
The Arts Tower is largely devoted to the office, faculty and administrative offices of the Lewis Center. We're on the top floor of the Arts Tower right now, so you can see a script library, and then next door there's a conference room and an extraordinary view. It's interesting. You very rarely at Princeton are up high. It's a low-built town. So sometimes when people come up here, they're looking at Princeton for the first time from an entirely different perspective, and the relationships among sort of spaces and things, you know, sort of they didn't really know, sort of in a way that you do when you might look at an aerial map, and so that's been kind of fun. It's also the case that there's a kind of hyphen, if you will, between the Arts Tower and the Wallace Building. And in that hyphen, sort of, you know, at the lowest level, you would find an art gallery. So the visual arts program will be programming that, that'll feature student work and sort of, you know, special exhibitions and the like. And then just above it, a patio that connects the Arts Tower with the Wallace Building. From the outside point of view, there's the plaza with its pool, and at the bottom of the pool are skylights into the lowest level of this complex, which is an area we call the Forum. And so just off the Forum are the major spaces, as it were, that are where performances will take place. Yeah, so that's where sort of, you know, our students work, our colleagues work, our sort of, you know, outside artists work, or whatever. We'll be looking for sort of, you know, a community audience. And so the rehearsal room, the orchestral rehearsal room that Wendy alluded to is there. That's where the dance theater is. That's where the black box theater is. That's where something called the collab is, right? A place for collaboration. And then the Forum itself, right, is another performance space. In some ways, it serves as the lobby of the entire arts complex. And so we hope people will come and just hang out, but then also it lends itself to sort of, you know, parties, to musical events. There's a piano sitting down there right now, and I noticed that sort of now and again when I go down, someone is simply sitting and playing the piano.
Yeah, there's something I like having that there, because something about putting that piano there says this is a space where something could happen. This is not, you're not in a doctor's office lobby. You're not in, you know, an engineering building, right? This is a place where anything could happen, and there's something about a piano that opens that up, I think, in a really nice way.
And all the spaces that I just mentioned can all be opened up. And so you can look right into sort of the orchestral rehearsal room.
Yeah, and that's glass looking in.
Yeah.
So even if you can't hear it, but it's this funny phenomenon where you go in and you open the door, and suddenly the orchestra sound comes out, and then you shut it, it's like, and then the second layer of door shuts, and then you just hear this sort of whisper of, you know, this full symphony orchestra flailing away. And you hear just this tiny whisper. It's really, really extraordinary.
And the theater and the dance theater sort of both have, you know, 20-foot, 30-foot high doors that can be opened. Sort of, you know, so you might look into a process that's happening there. The collab can be pretty much fully open to the Forum. And yeah, the architect certainly was in love with the idea of porosity, right? It's great to be able to give people a glimpse of what's going on, what's the process by which things actually sort of get made.
As you had said Richardson and Taplin will continue as some of the major performing halls on campus.
For the music department, yeah.
What are some of the ways that you anticipate the public interacting with this new center, with students or with other performances?
Yeah, so certainly part of it has to do with the, you know, we don't put on shows for ourselves. You know, and so if we do a dance performance, if we do a theater performance, our hope is, when we, most of our events are free, but even for the ticketed events, that people will come and see what it is that folks are doing. The young man who has written, who we commissioned to write a play for the opening, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, right? Well, in 2006, he did his senior thesis play at the Berlin Theater. And now he is one of the most celebrated playwrights in the United States, one of the leading African-American playwrights, and he just won a MacArthur Genius Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And part of that process, I would say, had to do with the fact that the Berlin was available to him. You know, he wrote a play which he directed in there. There is something soul-expanding about that. You're being taken as a serious professional, before you're even, out of college. And an audience came in. Now, some of the audience was a university audience, but, by no means exclusively that. And the audience is giving him information in the way it's reacting to what he has and hasn't done, So that's really a key part of, key to all the performing arts, key to all the arts. The weird thing in the performing arts is you're actually there while they're reacting.
Yeah.
Right? But, in the opening celebrations and throughout the year, we also hope to find other forms of community involvement that involve active participation.
And I think for us, this complex did not give us a major performing space in the same way that it has for theater and dance. There was a plan once upon a time to build another concert hall for us, but the financial crisis came just at that moment, and it got... I'm hoping it wasn't, they didn't rip that up, that they just maybe shelved it to some point. Though I think right now we all would want to take a breath before we went there. But for us, I think we're looking at some unconventional ways to use the rehearsal room and the forum. For the opening weekend, we have a very exciting event planned for the Thursday evening in the rehearsal room. This is a concert sponsored by Princeton University Concert Series, which I haven't mentioned, but I'm sure all of the WWFM listeners will know Princeton University Concert Series, directed by the incomparable Marna Seltzer, who has just done an amazing job to bring absolutely top-notch and varied performers to Princeton. So we have this wonderful group called the Baroque Soloisten that's coming in on October 5th, doing a concert at Richardson earlier in the evening, and then this Ale House. So if you sort of think Ale House beer, but with kind of glitzy Baroque music, that will be happening, weather permitting, in the new complex, but I think likely in the rehearsal room. We will be having some master classes in there, some music meditation series that come out of Princeton University Concert Series. And during the opening weekend as well, we're having some community events. There's going to be a community reading, singing and playing of the Beethoven Choral Fantasia. So anyone who wants to come in and sing the Beethoven, totally great piece, come to that. And there's going to be a jazz jam session as well. So I think that's the kind of thing that will happen. There's going to be the John Cage Music Circus, which is this sort of eccentric performance piece, which will be happening all over using the forum. So we're really thinking, yeah, we want you to come to Taplin, we want you to come to Richardson, but we've got these really cool spaces that we're going to do some really neat things in.
I did want to ask specifically, you're launching, inaugurating the new building with this arts festival. Why was that such an important part of the planning process?
First of all, we wanted to make it clear that these new buildings, are the embodiment of Princeton's commitment to the arts, a commitment of long standing, but a commitment that has been upped in recent years. And so you want the world to pay attention. And you can get the world to pay attention for about 2 minutes. Right? As the buildings we thought that as the buildings were completed, we'd want to do something that would really encourage people to come and have a look. The other day I was being interviewed by a kid from Princeton High School. He works for The Tower, which is their school newspaper. And at the end of the interview, he said, "I've lived in Princeton for 17 years of my life. I like it well enough, but I certainly never considered the possibility of applying to Princeton. I knew I would want to get out of town." And he said, "And also, I'm really pretty artsy, and you know, I wasn't convinced that, you know, sort of Princeton was as artsy as I wanted it to be." And sort of he said, "This afternoon's interview and tour have certainly changed my mind about that part of my decision." Now, sort of, I expect that that will be a common response. You know, I sometimes tell, somewhat as a form of a joke, that when I came to Princeton, lo, these 35 years ago, I had been, as an undergraduate, a world-class swimmer and sort of someone very involved in theater. I could see that Princeton had a commitment to swimming. Sort of the D'Annunzio pool was not too old at that point. Sort of, just come on. But I didn't really see anywhere the physical embodiment of a commitment to theater. It took really the building of the Berlin Theater for us to get there. You know, the building of the Berlin sort of made Princeton think, perhaps we could do even more, you know, because this certainly has made a difference in the university's life, but also in the greater community's life.
And I think for us, it's again, this notion that a building can be a manifestation of something that's been going on, but has been less apparent. So I think about for Michael Pratt, my colleague who's now starting his 40th season this year as director of the Princeton University Orchestra, for him to say, "Oh my goodness, I'm not in this corner in the basement, or we're not being here," that suddenly this program that has grown and grown, and the quality of the orchestra over the years has gotten to be so, so high. I mean, there are students who go on, obviously, and have great careers as musicians. There are students who are going to go on and become doctors and lawyers. This will be the best orchestra they will ever have played with, you know, no question. But to suddenly be able to say, "This is what I have done on this campus for 40 years, and now it's here." I mean, he's been walking around all week since classes started, literally on cloud nine. We have our new jazz director, new as of last year, Rudresh Mahantapa. For him, he joined us last year, and now he's getting to build a program within this different space and is really able to think about different ways to have jazz performance and the study of jazz intersect with other academic programs in ways that are really innovative. And having room to do it kind of makes that all seem possible and says, "Go ahead, think of something different." You know, we feel like we've got big programs that can expand into these spaces very easily, but we don't know where they're going to be in 5 years. We can't even imagine.
That was Michael Cadden, chair of Princeton University's Lewis Center for the Arts, and Wendy Heller, chair of the Music Department. You can find the website for the new arts complex, including an events listing for next week's Festival of the Arts, at lcaopening.princeton.edu. You can hear additional excerpts of my conversation, including some of the building's architectural details, on the Arts and Cultural News page of our website at wwfm.org. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world each week on Atempo. Remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. You can become a member of the Classical Network, now celebrating its 35th anniversary, anytime by going to wwfm.org. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to Atempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. Atempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.